Nice to hear a shout in the camp.
Yes.
You may be seated if you like. Praise the Lord. I want to greet you this evening in the name of Jesus and just say that it's a great honor to be here and to be your minister this evening. And it means a lot to me. And to be able to fulfill that thing that you feel down in your heart that you're supposed to be doing and be able to have a place to do it. I've known different preachers over the years that claim to be preachers, but they never had any place to preach. And that must be a frightening situation to be in. And so I'm just thankful to be here and thank you for the opportunity. Grateful to the pastor, my son-in-law, for inviting me. And it's nice to say that in 14 years, he and I haven't had a cross word.
Amen.
Amen. And some people lay that to the fact that we live 2,300 miles apart. But even when we spend a month together in the same house and everything, we still don't have any crosswords. Amen. It's just good to have that kind of relationship. I'm a very blessed person, a very blessed man. My wife and I both are very blessed to have the family that we have. And I'm so grateful for our children and their spouses and my grandchildren. And thankful tonight that Abigail's here. Having suffered with the flu or something for several days, to the extent that the talk was that without a change, she'd have to be taken to the hospital. And the mama and the papa and the grandma and the grandpa finally just got down there with her, and all four agreed together. And there was a turn right then, amen, in the right direction. And the next morning, praise God. Eating again and everything, and so thankful to the Lord tonight for that. And because of that, everyone can be here this evening, Rachel and Debbie and all of them, and it's just good to be with you. Praise God. Now, I shouldn't make too much apologies for an hour and 45-minute message Sunday, because that's Sunday, amen, and we're supposed to be resting our bodies and we're supposed to be recharging our souls and everything and using that day as unto the Lord. Praise God. But I'll do my best not to hold you that long tonight, because I know that there's school tomorrow and things like that. And but whatever God has, that's what we want. Right? Amen. Praise God. So if you'll stand with me and open your Bibles again to our text in Proverbs 18. And verse 21. Let's read that again and then have a word of prayer as we go to our second message in this three-part series this evening and then closing on Sunday. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for your divine presence. I know that you're here, Lord. We've gathered together in your name, and therefore you have to be here because you are truth and you cannot lie. And we know that the anointing is here. We know the anointed one is here. And we know, God, that not only are you stirring that anointing that abides within at all times, but there's a special anointing here tonight. And Father, we're just so grateful for that. And I believe with all of my heart now, God, that you will continue to impart divine revelation to men and women that are in this building this evening. And Lord Jesus, it is for your glory and for your name's sake. And God, for your glory in the earth as you move and just manifest yourself in the members of the bride of Jesus Christ. And God, this shall become more and more evident in those that take a hold of the truth that is coming forth from the pages of this book. Grant it now, we pray, God, that you would move, meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How you use your mouth is the master key to your life. Amen. Now, you may think that this isn't quite as important as it is, but if you'll just open your heart and let the Holy Spirit begin to really speak to you and show you these things, you can leave this series of meetings not the same person that you were when we started. And you can see a change in your life that'll be a change for time and eternity. Amen. This is not some sort of game just to pass 3 days of services. This is life and death teaching. Amen. And the scripture is true when it tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I can't state it too emphatically, that how you use your mouth is the master key to your life. Amen. Your mouth, brothers and sisters, determines your success and it determines your failure. Your mouth does it. You can't blame it on your boss. You can't blame it on your teachers. You can't blame it on your ministers. You can't blame it on your neighbors. You can't blame it on your spouse. You can't blame it on other people in the community that you rub shoulders with and everything. You are responsible for it yourself. Amen. It is your mouth that determines your own success and determines your own failure. Amen. Your mouth is where the changes in life are going to be wrought, and your mouth is where deliverance is going to be purchased, hallelujah, in the days to come, if you really catch a hold of what we're saying here this evening. Now, there's a twofold purpose for this series, and one of them is to get you to stop saying negative things. Stop speaking negative things. Amen. But just learning now not to speak negative things, all that does is it spares you from having to reap the harvest of those negative seeds. Amen. That's all that portion of this message does. Now, that's a great thing. Amen. If we can just stop saying the negative, and if we can just stop saying those things that the enemy wants us to say in relationship to ourselves and to our families and things like this, we immediately then we're not planting any more negative seed. And if we quit planting the negative seed, then we don't have to worry about reaping a negative harvest on down the line. And if we could just get away from reaping the negative harvest, that's a great thing. And if I can get some of you in the congregation just to come that far and just to be able to have faith to believe that much of it, then that's a great thing. Amen. But brothers and sisters, that's only half of what we're trying to say here. It's not enough just to learn to stop saying the negative things. The complete revelation of what the scripture is teaching here is that we not only shut off the power of death, but that we loose the power of life. Amen. And that we get out of the negative gear into the positive gear. Amen. And begin to reap the full harvest of the blessings of God, of the promises of God, every good and perfect gift that God wants to put upon us, everything that God has ordained for your life as we go through this life and head for that next dimension that we were singing about tonight. Praise God. I'll tell you something. I want a little bit of heaven here to go to heaven in. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't want to live my life in bondage. I don't want to live my life in sickness. I don't want to live my life in poverty. I don't want to live my life beat down all the time, just dragging myself into church and just barely hanging on. I came out of a church organization in Pentecost the premier testimony was, I'm so glad I'm saved and sanctified and belong to the good old church. I won't mention the name. Amen. Pray for me that I can just hold on to the end. Amen. And other testimonies in our group was continually glorifying the devil. You know, oh, the devil's been after me all day. The devil's been chasing me all day. The devil was chasing me all night. Praise his holy name. Amen. Now, they didn't really mean that. They didn't mean to praise the devil's holy name, but that's the way they said it. That's the way it came out. And it built within the framework of that organization, that particular group, a survival mentality. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, brothers and sisters, listen, I will be satisfied. I'll tell you that. I'll be satisfied with a little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. I'll be satisfied just to make it in, but wouldn't it be much better that I could be assured of a more abundant entrance into that kingdom? Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'll tell you something. I have needs while I'm here. I have need of authority while I'm here. I won't need authority in the millennium. You hear me? I won't need authority in the millennium, not as far as I know. Now, maybe some of you know something more about it than I do, but I don't think I'll need it there. And I don't think I'll have to worry about God supplying my needs and having faith for finances and things like that. I don't think I'll need that over there. Praise God. I don't think I'll need that. There's so much that I won't need over there, but I need it here. The problem is we've got stuck in a routine of thinking where we're putting everything over there. We're putting everything off in that dimension at that time, and we are content to live in mediocrity here. We're content to live way below our privileges here. We're content just to hang on here, just to survive here, and just if we can just somehow get out there and fight our way through all these demon forces every day and everything and drag ourselves back home and drag ourselves to church. I don't want to just drag anymore. Amen. I woke up to the fact here a few months ago that I didn't have any joy anymore. Amen. And that I didn't have that spring inside and that bounce inside anymore. I didn't have that shout. Praise God. That's something that made me want to get up in the morning just praising God and just shouting the glory of God and all of these different things. I found out that I was in survival mode. I was getting up in the morning and kind of looking around the corner there, you know, seeing if I could see him because he's going to be after me. I just knew. Amen. Amen. I don't know how I got into that. Praise God, I'll tell you, I've shifted into another gear. And I get up in the morning now, and to my dismay, I have a big mirror in the headboard, you know. And so even when I've just touched the feet to the floor, the first thing I can see is the image here. And how many of you older ones, you remember when you were young and no matter how you slept on the pillow, no matter how many lines you got in your face and everything, 5 minutes after you got up, they were gone. How many older folks know now it takes half a day for them to disappear? Amen. And so you wake up in the morning, you look over there and all those wrinkles and everything. But that don't bother me one bit. Because you see, I know that this outer man perishes daily. But I've got a hold of a source. I've got a hold of something. Amen. Praise God that lets me know that the inner man is renewed day by day. Amen. According to the word of God, in the power of God, the mighty Holy Spirit moving in me. And I've learned to swing my feet over the edge of the bed now, plant my feet down on the floor and say, devil, I am up again. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I'll tell you one thing. You will not defeat me today. I'll tell you another thing. You will not overcome me today. I'll tell you another thing. You're not going to do any of those things that you used to do to me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You don't have any authority to do it. You don't have any power to do it. You've been stripped of the whole thing, and I'm going out there and do the work of God today. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you see, you got to get on the other side of this. It's not just learning not to say negative things, not to say those things about yourself or your family, etc., and everything. The full revelation, praise God, is to learn to get on the other side of this and begin to harvest the fullness of God's blessings because you're learning to say what God says in His Word. Amen. And I'm going to use a couple scriptures tonight that most of you have thrown out of your vocabulary because of Pentecost and the charismatics and everything, but it's time we took a fresh look at some of these. Amen. Amen. Now, just refraining from what the devil wants you to say is great, like I've said. But learning and conditioning yourself and disciplining yourself to say what God says is what brings the greater blessing. Hallelujah. Saying what God says on a daily basis, not just once in a while, not just when you're in imminent danger of a car wreck, not just when you have a great financial need, not just when your body is racked with sickness and in pain and everything, but learning to say it day after day after day after day, learning to confess the good word of God, learning to talk like Jesus talked, learning to talk like the apostles talked, learning to talk like the church talked in the first century, hallelujah. Learning to speak what God has said in this word on a daily basis, maybe even doing like I do with my prayer cards now and putting all this into the first person and then just walking through the house, amen, just speaking this out between me and God, just saying it over and over and over and over again. And I'll tell you, by the time I get done with that two or three times a day, by the time I've meditated in that and mused over that and everything, it is tremendous. Praise God to know how much God delights in me and to know what is mine because I'm a righteous man and to know what is mine because I'm a good man and to know what is mine because I am all the things that God says that I am. Amen. The devil don't need to come around anymore with condemnation because there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. To those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are in the Word of the living God, amen, and walk according to the Spirit of God, there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's one of those scriptures that most of you have thrown away. Job 22:28. It says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Now, the reason a lot of you threw that away is because of its misuse and its misinterpretation. But it's still in there. And it means something. And God has a reason for it being there. And here's what I believe that it's saying. I don't believe that that means that I can just think up anything I want to think of and speak it out into the air and have it come to pass. If I want to hear that kind of teaching and preaching, I can get into these high-level MLM meetings and I can go back out into the name it and claim it group and that kind of thing, and I can find a lot of that there, but that's not what this means. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established to thee." To me, that means exactly that when I say what God says, when I say what God has already said, amen, then, brothers and sisters, I am decreeing what God has already decreed, amen. Do you understand that? It's not me getting excited and stepping out with some foolishness and some presumption and some nonsense. It's me finding what the Word of God says. What it says about my healing, what it says about my prosperity, what it says about my deliverance, what it says about anything. Amen. And then decreeing that to be so. Hallelujah. When I decree what God has already said, then I am decreeing what he's already decreed, and he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so that means that you have authority in your mouth. Do you hear me?
Yes.
You have authority in your mouth. It means that you have healing in your mouth. It means that you have deliverance in your mouth. It means you have blessing in your mouth. It means you have the power to change in your mouth. It means that you have the potential for finances in your mouth. It means that whatsoever things you desire, praise God, that potential is in your mouth. Amen. If you will decree it, God will establish it unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Romans 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Here's how you get saved. Amen? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I didn't bring the quotes tonight. If you want them, ask somebody with a computer and he'll give them to you. And Brother Branham says over and over and over again, you were saved on the basis of your confession. He said the difference between you and thousands of other people is the fact that you confessed it. You claimed it. Hallelujah. Now, naturally, we believe. We believe from the very soul. We believe from the very heart. Amen. That's where you believe. But with the mouth, confession is made unto that salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I knew of a man one time that had tremendous financial difficulties. He was facing imminent bankruptcy. And someone brought him this principle and said, if you will take the promises of God that pertain to your deliverance in the realm of finances and your provision, and if you will confess them with your mouth, God will bring it to pass. And so he gathered up all of the scriptures on provision and blessing. And every day when he went to work, he took all these scriptures with him. And on his breaks, he would go into the break room and he would read these and confess them out loud. During lunch, he would do the same thing and everything. And finally, he came back after a few months with this testimony. He said, when I started that, I didn't believe it. He said, you mean you didn't believe the word of God? No, he said, I believed the word of God. I just didn't believe that it was going to happen to me. I didn't believe that just by me confessing these scriptures, I would be delivered from my bankrupt condition and God would bless me financially. But he said, I kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it until all of a sudden one day I realized that I was now believing it. Now, do you see? Amen. You see where the difference is? We're not talking about just positive confession. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He said the very day that that confession became a faith in my heart, then he said every day after that that I confessed it, I believed it, hallelujah, and it came to pass, and God delivered me, and he said, today I'm not only not facing bankruptcy, he said, I got so much money, I don't even know what to do with it all, hallelujah, and I'm sure there'd be some preachers around that could guide him, amen. Hallelujah. With the heart, man believes. But with the mouth, confession is made. That's how you get saved. And your prophet, my prophet, will tell us that over and over and over again in the pages of our message and on those tapes. So here's my proposition to you. If your confession got you saved, then your confession can get you healed. Amen. And if your confession got you saved, then your confession can get you delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. And if your confession got you saved, your confession can bring a change in your life. And if your confession got you saved, your confession can also bless you financially or any other way that you have a need in your life right now. Confession can do the same thing for you that it did in the realm of your salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto healing. With the mouth, confession is made unto deliverance. With the mouth, confession is made, amen, for all of these things, with the mouth, hallelujah. I paid my tithe when I didn't have food in the house for my children. I have exactly the same testimony Brother Branham had. He said when they were sick and had need of medicine, the tithe was first. When they had need of food, the tithe was first. We paid our tithe when there wasn't food in the house. We paid our tithe. You've heard my testimony, my teaching in camp. Amen. We paid our tithe when there was no electricity. We paid our tithe when the water was being shut off. We paid our tithe when the banker was there to get the car. Paid our tithe when the mortgage man was there to take the house back. We paid our tithe. But not only did we pay our tithe, we paid our tithe in an attitude of worship and an attitude that this was God's, it was the Lord's, it was holy, and it was being given back to God in that fashion. And we paid our tithe also confessing that if you will bring your tithe into the storehouse, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. Hallelujah. Now, we weren't so concerned whether that was a spiritual blessing or whether it was a monetary blessing. Whatever it was, we weren't paying our tithe to get rich. We weren't paying our tithe to have more money. We weren't paying our tithe just to see and keep a ledger on how much God gave back to us. But yet God said it, I didn't say it. Amen. And therefore, in all of those years, we paid our tithe knowing that God opens the heavens, opens the windows of heaven. And we believed that by paying our tithe and giving to God, we were living, Brother Charlie, under an open heaven. Amen. Well, it wasn't very easy to see driving that 20-year-old blue Matador with the orange tailgate. It wasn't very easy to see with the drapes that had been on the wall so long, and it was Debbie's wedding, and we had to get this house in tip-top shape. We had to paint the walls and everything, and we took those drapes down and took them to the cleaners, and when they come back, they were nothing but just shreddy holes. Amen. I said, hang them back up. That's all we got. Amen. It didn't make any difference to us about those things. Didn't make any difference to us about any kind of cycle of lack or need or anything else we went through. We believed we were living under an open heaven. And we believed that the Word of God meant exactly what it said. And therefore, we kept that confession. No, we didn't go to bed every night with the confession of the blessing and the windows of heaven, but we kept that confession. We kept that in our hearts. We kept saying that. And we finally cycled through a lot of different cycles and everything. And the devil would come by and say, how do you ever expect God to be able to do anything great for you in that area? This great blessing, this blessing poured out that there's not room enough to contain it when you only preach to a handful of people. Those kind of blessings are reserved for those that preach to thousands of people. Those kind of blessings are reserved for those men that are booked all the time and people write these big checks out to. And the enemy was always right there to point out to me that I had just had a millionaire in my congregation and he had left $10 in the plate and he went right down the road to another message preacher and wrote him a check for $50,000. And the enemy was always telling me those things. And I didn't know how to talk to him back then. Amen. I know how to talk to him now. And I know how to put those things down and everything. But yet, in my heart, I just said, well, it doesn't make any difference. If God took care of a prophet in the Bible through one little widow woman who herself was so poor in the beginning of this miracle that she was ready to die. If God could sustain that man of God through that one miracle, then God doesn't need more than one. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's exactly what happened to me after years and years and years of holding to that promise and fulfilling the word of God and everything. God brought one person under our ministry. One person. Amen. And through that one person, put a gift in him of giving like I have never seen in the 39 years I've been preaching. And through that gift, amen, God just absolutely poured so much out on us that we didn't hardly have room enough to contain it. Amen. And at first, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew after a while that if I'm going to be a recipient of Abraham's blessing, then I'm going to have to do the same thing Abraham did. I'm going to have to use it to bless others. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know now that when God opens those windows of heaven, he doesn't open them just for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is so wonderful to be a middleman. It is so wonderful to be a steward. Amen. I still live on $13,000 a year draw from my church. Amen. And my housing allowance. Praise God. You couldn't hardly get by on $13,000 and rent your house also. How many know that's true? Amen. But I still live on the same thing I was living on 10, 15 years ago. But now to see that open heaven, praise God, and see the windows of heaven open and see God pouring out his spirit in such a way. You don't know what it's like for a guy like me that has just struggled from paycheck to paycheck for so many years and everything to walk down to the post office and a little letter there saying, somebody's got need of this $10,000. You make sure you know who it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or here's $20,000 or here's $25,000. This kind of thing. Amen. But brothers and sisters, that's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not trying to preach and to say that you start believing and confessing and your mailbox is going to load up with $25,000 checks. Amen. Praise God. And who knows? I may have seen my last one, but I know that God is God. Amen. And he does these things. And if we continue to believe in our heart and continue to confess what God has said, then we have decreed what God has said and he will establish it in our lives. Yeah. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. It's with the mouth. You see, we take the anointed spirit word of God. Amen. And we place that in our mouth. And we call those things that are unseen as though they are. Amen. Now, I'll let you in on a little secret if you promise not to send these videos back to my church. Because I can't contain it anymore. I was talking the other night, the first service, about calling for that $10,000. Amen. The $5,000 for the audio and the $5,000 for the video. And I've only told two other people about it and everything, but I can't contain myself, praise God. 2 days after we called that out of the unseen to the seen, there was a check in my mailbox for $22,000. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I haven't said anything about it up till this time is because I asked for 10. See? And I didn't ask from the person that God has used to bless our ministry and buy our church. Amen. He didn't know a thing about it. Not one word. I'm not about to start calling people up asking. Amen. I call him up. Yes. Praise God. I ask him. $22,000. 2 days later. Now, I'm waiting on that. And the reason I'm waiting on it is because I want to see if the exact 10 comes in. You hear me? Amen. And that may be foreign to some of you. I can kind of tell with your spirit. Amen. But I want to see if that exact 10 comes in. If it does, then I'll know that is just for that. If not, I'll take it out of this other. Praise God and everything. But you know what I'm thinking about doing? What I'm thinking about doing in my own church, and this might be a little theatric and everything, but because there was so much doubt there when I said that, I'm thinking about going down to the bank and getting 10 $1,000 bills. And then just walk up and down the aisles next Sunday at church. Amen. And just say, here, this was unseen a month ago. Here's the evidence of it now. Right. This was seen. Right. But in my own heart, amen, I had it a month ago. Praise God. I had the quarter for the loaf of bread. Right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I hope that some of this, I hadn't planned on any of this. I hope some of it's inspiring somebody here this evening. Yes. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Now listen to this. Every time you open your mouth, you're releasing words that either activate God or activate the devil. Somebody told me that the Wednesday night crowd was more lively than the Sunday. Was that, yeah, was that you, Brother Chuck, told me that? Amen. I know you're thinking. I know you're listening. Praise God. Every time you open your mouth, you're speaking something that's either going to activate God or it's going to activate the enemy. Amen. The words that you're speaking and the words that I speak, amen, either one or the other, God or the enemy, is going to go to work on the basis of those words. Don't ever forget that in your conversations with each other, in your conversations in your home, your family, whatever it is, from this night forward, never forget that truth. Amen. That every time you open your mouth, your words that are coming out are activating either God or they're activating the devil. You're authorizing God to go to work or you're authorizing the devil to go to work. Amen. You're either keeping God employed or you're keeping the devil employed. Amen. Now that's how serious all of this is. Amen. I'll tell you, I have even cut tremendously back on words that aren't necessary. Amen. I can get as foolish and frivolous as a lot of you can. Amen. But God got on my case about that a long time ago because I just absolutely laughed the anointing right away from me at one time. But I've even cut back on a lot of that. And I'm not expecting us to go through life like a bunch of monks, you know, with the collars up or the hoods up and all that. And a little board in front of us chanting and then hitting ourselves in the head every once in a while. I don't expect us to live that kind of existence. The prophet said Jesus had a sense of humor. Amen. And I believe in a sense of humor, but a lot of what we say, amen, even though we don't realize it, is putting the enemy to work in our lives. Now, St. Mark 11:23 is a classic scripture for what we're talking about. For verily I say unto you that whosoever... Now, that didn't say Brother Branham. Didn't say a prophet, didn't say a pastor, a preacher, an elder. It said whosoever. You know, I can get just as excited as the rest of you when we talk about Brother Branham's experiences. I can get just as excited as everyone in here when we talk about him being delivered from that snowstorm there in Colorado and everything. But you know what I get even more excited about? I get more excited about the time that I was in the Rockies on the Continental Divide and a life-threatening blizzard And the word of God came into my mouth. And I spoke a storm out of existence. You hear me? Amen. In 30 seconds, this storm shall cease. These clouds shall part and the sun shall shine through. My wife was there. She can verify it. She says, I remember things a lot different at this stage of my life than she remembers them. Amen. When it comes to me telling stories from the pulpit, but she can verify that. My daughter, my son were there. They were just little children at the time, maybe second or third grade. But that excites me. Yes. Amen. Amen. That excites me to let me know that it is not just a prophet. Amen. It is not just great man that is chosen and set aside with a great ministry and a great anointing. Whosoever, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Amen. And there may come a time when we have to move some literal real estate around. I don't know. There may come a time when we have to walk on water. There may come a time when we have to depend on being transported in the Spirit. Amen. We don't know what's laying out between now and the time that we go home. But right now, suffice to say that there are a lot of mountains in our life that need speaking to. Hallelujah. Amen. It might be healing. It might be finance. Whatever it is. But whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Amen. But shall believe that those things which he saith, and we've got a good lesson on this Sunday, amen. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. We find that all through the scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's look at some of these portions of the word now. Proverbs 14:3. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. I'll just read it here. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where is preservation? It's in your mouth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Amen. You see, the wise say the right thing. The wise speak the right thing. The wise are speaking the word of the living God. Preservation is in your mouth. Amen. And then our text scripture again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now listen carefully to what I got to say here. Your tongue has tremendous power. So I would say it this way, you better learn how to use it. Because it is a dangerous thing if not used properly. Amen. I've got a 357 Magnum at home. I had a 9mm and some other guns and couldn't even hit the target with the thing. I had this target hanging in my garage for a while with about 6 or 8 bullet holes right through this silhouette's eyes, you know, right between the eyes, and his heart completely shot out, and I love to display that. I love to keep it up in the garage. People say, who did that? I did, you know. And, it's my insurance policy. Some guy walks in here, going to steal my deep freeze. He'll look up there and he'll see that. And so I bought this 9mm because I wanted more rounds. I wanted to be able to fire off more rounds. And got down to the shooting gallery and firing away at that thing. And Rich pulls it up. And he said, you were firing at this target, weren't you? And I said, that's, you know, you don't have to be smart mouthed about it. What's wrong? He said, there are no holes. I said, there's got to be. So he wheeled her back down there again. I said, well, let's get it a little closer this time. And so about 18 more rounds and everything, he brings it back. I got maybe about two, and they're clear off on the edge and everything. And I said, well, I can't have that. I'm sending this gun back to the factory. I'm getting the sights fixed and everything. So I mailed it in and got it back, and we went out again, same thing. I thought I was firing blanks. And so he said, well, Dad, here, before you send it back again, let me try it. And he steps up there, and he's got about six or eight right in the heart, you know, and a few more between the eyes and all that kind of stuff. And so when we were buying our new home, having our new home built and selling our old one, I really got to like the real estate man. And when it was all over, I presented him with a gift, a token of my appreciation. I gave him that 9mm. He's a guy that traps and hikes through the mountains and everything. And boy, I'll tell you, he stood there in the street and cried. And I felt so bad in one way, because I was wondering, now, if he can't fire that thing any better than I can, his tears are going to turn to something else when he gets up there. And can't hit the broadside of the barn with it, but my .357 is a different thing altogether. I love that gun, and the only thing is, I keep it loaded, and Rachel just goes berserk having that loaded gun around. And you know, I tell her this. I tell her, "What good is a gun with no bullets in it?" And then she talks to me about faith confession. Amen. And believing God for protection, you know what I mean, and things like that. So we've got this standoff. But I have agreed to this. I've got a great big safe out in the garage, and the only problem I have with that is I forget the combination, and I won't get started on that one, because I promised you I'd let you out early. But she has this little insistence that whenever the grandkids come, all the guns and all the ammo and all that stuff got to be in that safe. And that's good wisdom. Amen. But I said all that to say this. Let's say the grandkids are coming out. It's vacation time and everything. And they're running in the little room there to find the new rocker that Grandpa bought and all this kind of stuff and everything. And I walk in. I've got this armful of toys and everything. And I say, here, Leah, here's Pooh Bear for you. And here, Abigail, I want you to have this .357 Magnum. Loaded. No safety in the trigger mechanism. Just play till your heart's content. You know what would happen, don't you? Absolute disaster. But our mouth is just as powerful as that .357 Magnum. Amen. And it can produce just as disastrous results in a body and a vessel that doesn't know how to use it. Amen. If the power of life and death is in the tongue, then not knowing how to use it is the same as handing Abigail that .357 Magnum. Amen. And many of us, not knowing the power that's in the tongue, amen, we have misused it for so many years and over such a long period of time that we've got disastrous results in our homes and our lives all around us. We have said negative things to our children year in and year out until we have caused complexes and problems in them that we should not be dealing with today. And we have said negative things to our spouses and about our spouses. I used to just hate going to church picnics, because it seemed to be a time when every disgruntled husband and every disgruntled wife wanted to let everybody else around the table know just how bad this guy was that they were married to. Amen. You know, there's a spirit that come on some people, and they console themselves into thinking that they got the wrong one. Just had to be, I got the wrong one. And if they think they got the wrong one, they want everybody else to know they got the wrong one. And so I got to where I didn't even schedule Now, this is a long, long time ago. People have really grown up since then. But I didn't even schedule dinners and everything. We wouldn't even do it after a while because of all of the negative things that were said. Amen. And we say these negative things about our jobs, and we say these negative things about our bosses. Do you know where I get a little bit of my sermon material? I get it at restaurants. Probably a better place would be on my knees, but I get a lot of it at restaurants, listening over the booth behind me and the booth over here. Sometimes I say to Rachel, shh, shh, shh. She'll say, what's the matter? I said, I'm zeroed in on conversation over in the corner there. And one thing I've noticed about people is almost everybody hates their work. I mean that. Out in the public sector, almost everybody hates the job they're doing. And they hate the people they work with. And they hate their bosses. And they're constantly talking about this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this boss and that boss and everything. Brothers and sisters, the tongue is such a powerful weapon. They don't know it, but they're bringing destruction on themselves with the very thing that they're saying about these other people. Amen. Now, there is a death cycle and a life cycle. The power of death and life is in the tongue. There's a death cycle. When I talk about the death cycle, I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about disease, talking about sickness, poverty, everything in that death realm. Amen. Everything that we attribute to the devil. He's a thief. He comes to kill, destroy. Amen. We don't get any good thing from him. That's all the death cycle. And the cycle of that death, amen, can be turned on with this tongue. Also, the life cycle. Deliverance, peace, healing, prosperity, joy, all of it is under the power of the tongue. The power of life and the power of death is in the tongue. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, you know what that word is in the Hebrew? Source. The mouth of a righteous man is a source. Source of what? A source of life. Hallelujah. Then if it is a source of life, and if life springs from the tongue, from the mouth of a righteous man, then we need to learn how to use it. We need to learn how to employ it. We need to learn how to keep it in the right perspective and the right control. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Now here again, we're establishing the relationship between your mouth and your life, between the mouth and physical things, between the mouth and spiritual things. Amen. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. What does that mean? He that's a good custodian of his mouth. Amen. Guard your mouth, you guard your life. Guard your mouth, you protect your life. Guard your mouth, you protect your soul, it says in other places. You see, it's all up to you. You have struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. You've been prayed for, preached at, and you're sitting there with the power to change it all yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Amen. Again, Brother Vince, your mouth is attached to your life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The mouth is attached to the life. The tongue determines what your life is going to be. I've been running around telling Jared the last 2-3 days, attitude determines altitude. Finally tonight outside here, he said, just what does that mean? Amen. And so we had to tell him. It all starts with the mouth. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise is health. And so, brothers and sisters, your tongue has the power to influence physical things. And your tongue has the power to change physical things. Amen. Let's read it again. The tongue of the wise is health. Amen. Now, what do we do? And again, I take supplements. So don't, you know, let's don't argue this one out. Amen. But what do? We look for a pill. We look for an herb or a herb, whichever one you want to call it. I said herb in New Zealand and they just about ran me out of town. You Americans and your herbs, don't you know those are herbs? Amen. Amen. But we look for an herb, we look for a pill, we look for a vitamin, we look for a new method, we look for a new cure. When all of the time the scripture says that the tongue of the wise is health. Hallelujah. Oh my. If we could only believe and only put it into practice. Hallelujah. How much greater a benefit would we walk in the name of the Lord. Amen. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, ye were healed. Time and time again, Brother Branham said, if he was standing here on this platform tonight in this suit that he gave me. You ever hear him say that? He could do no more for you than what he's already done. Hallelujah. Amen. So if I am wise, then that becomes what's on my tongue. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. That becomes what is on my tongue if I'm wise. If I'm wise, I remember that he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory be to God. Amen. If I'm wise, I will speak the word of God from James that tells me if I'm anointed with oil and prayed for by the elders of the church, that that prayer of faith will save me and will raise me up. It will heal me. If I've committed any sin, it will be forgiven me. I keep that on my tongue if I am wise. Amen. If I'm wise, I keep the fact on my tongue that he heals me of all my diseases. Amen. And as I say that every day, every day, every day, every day, hallelujah, pretty soon, brothers and sisters, even if I didn't believe it down inside, one day I will, hallelujah, and then it's finished, it's done, hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 16:24, two more scriptures. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Our daughter left this little postcard on the left lower corner of our bathroom window, or mirror rather, when she married Jeff. She had had that up there and she left it there, and I think it probably stayed there for, well, probably until we moved a year and a half ago. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, I know that you've heard that many, many times, but have you ever really thought about it? Have you ever really thought about the fact that your words have an effect on your soul? Now, I think most of you are aware that your words have an effect on your spirit. Amen? I won't allow anything to come around me anymore that jangles up my spirit. Amen. I just won't do it. But have you ever thought about the fact that those words also have an effect on your soul, on the inside of the inside? It says pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And so words do affect your spirit realm. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. Your words affect your physical realm, because it says here that these same pleasant words are health to the bones. That's powerful. That is outstanding. That is unbelievable. Except to a believer. Amen. That the words that you speak can have an effect on your bones. And if it has an effect on your bones, where's the moral? Where's the blood production? All of these things. You see, brothers and sisters? Amen. It actually has an effect in the physical realm. So, I'm saying this to you tonight. If your words can affect your bones, then your words can affect your finances. Amen? Amen. If your words can affect your bones, your words can affect your job. If your words can affect your bones, amen, your words can affect your marriage. I don't know. It's amazing that some couples can live together so many years and talk the way they do and have the situation the way they do in their home and everything. I guess the only thing that keeps some of us from blowing completely apart is because divorce is just out of the issue. Amen. It's just not part of the equation. But we're not happy. I hope all of you are. Praise God. But there's people that aren't happy. They're just so upset all the time. And they're just saying things all the time that just keeps it stirred up more and more. I'm going to tell you something. Change the way you talk, your marriage will change. Amen. Change the way you talk to your wife will change. Change the way you talk to your husband will change. Amen. I was counseling with a man here a while back, and the main issue was the thing of headship and of the office, and him doing his what he's supposed to do in his office, and part of that's protector, amen. And she was upset because he wouldn't protect her, and she wanted that protection. Now, we're not talking about against lions and tigers. We're talking about the in-laws and the relatives and all of these kind of things. And she wanted that protection. And yet we went through a big, long session one night, and I just couldn't get too far into this. And as we walked away, she kind of paired off with Rachel out on the parking lot. And I was with him, and he told me, he said, "Brother, I don't have any trouble with this office thing. I don't have any trouble with any of this." He said, "If I knew the world was flat and that by going straight ahead so many miles, I'd walk right off of it into oblivion," he said, "I would do that for her. I really would. But she will not do certain things. She will not speak in certain ways. She will not submit in certain ways." And so it kept him just absolutely in a turmoil. Now, he's caught a hold of a lot of these things that we've been preaching and teaching, and I can see a change. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if it can affect your bones, it can affect your marriage. Amen. If it can affect your bones, it can affect your job. You believe that? If it can affect your bones, I'll tell you, it can affect your family. Amen. It can affect anything and everything around you if it can affect your bones. If it can affect your soul and can affect your bones, there is no area of your life that can't be affected by this. Last scripture, 1 Peter 3:10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile." You want a good life? I do. Amen. You want to see good days? I do. Hallelujah. Then, brothers and sisters, keep watch over your tongue. Keep watch over what you say. Keep watch over the words that come out of your mouth, that they speak no evil. Oh, well, I'm okay there. And no guile. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the power of life and death is in your tongue. Amen. I'm through. And I will not make apologies for the message. I just say to you that I wish with all of my heart that I could preach in such a way
that could cause you to see and understand the things that I've experienced in my own life over the last 4 or 5 months, and how vitally, vitally important I feel this message to be, and how desperately I want you to understand it. Take these things and pray about them. Meditate on them. Don't just walk out into the night and head to Arby's and forget about the message. I'll probably be at Arby's, amen, but don't forget about the message. You understand what I'm trying to say? I've never yet preached the one message that I've wanted to preach. Have you ever preached it yet, Brother Charlie? I haven't, amen. I don't know if Brother Jeff has, Brother Lonnie, any of them. But I must depend on the fact that the Holy Spirit is here. And that He can move and make these things so real to us. Because, brothers and sisters, they are so important. And if I can leave after these days here, and out of these three messages, we can see fruit and see a change and have testimonies coming in down through the months that lay ahead of us, should the Lord delay His coming, then all of these things are well worthwhile. Hallelujah. But we can't treat it just like another message. Amen. We can't just add it to our arsenal of knowledge. You're so blessed in this church, and we are so blessed in this bride to have that voice and to have that tape library and those books and all of the ministries that God has raised up with such fantastic revelatory knowledge of the good word of God and everything. But it doesn't do any good if it's just added to our arsenal of knowledge. We've got to apply it. We've got to live it. Take this and apply it. It will change your life. We had a little girl here, young girl, in the altar Sunday, making a confession and wanting a change. And I thought, oh, praise God. You're never too young to change. You're never too young to take a hold of a principle of God and apply it to your life. Amen. And if we can do it at a young age, if we can do it as a preteen or a teenager or whatever it is, if I could have got a hold of this when I was 21 instead of 60, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. And so, brothers and sisters, pay heed to that which we have spoken of this evening. Hallelujah. And just zero in on it, meditate on it, get a tape, listen to it, hallelujah, and apply it. Praise God. Brethren, come, Brother Jeff.
Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. me what I should do.
Tell me what I should do.
Take all my dross away.
Take all my dross away.
In this world of sin.
In this world of sin.
I am so needy, Lord. Dross away.
Take all the dross away.
In this world of sin.
In this world of sin.
I am so needy. Make me pure within.
Make me pure within.
Brother Ron Ball, would you come close for us?
Jesus, make me
like
such as a perfect man who can bridle his tongue.
Jesus, make me like me. And give me
Jesus, it is a privilege, Lord, to come before you this day.
Yes, it is.
To hear from you, Lord.
Yes.
To have your ways in our life.
Yes.
To have a ministry that is here, that is among us, and that you're here with us.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that we'd take all this and we'd ponder it in our heart.
Yes.
Remember it and utilize it in our daily walk with you, Lord. We believe what you have said this day. It is life and death, and it's in the power of our tongue. And Lord, we want to change. We want to be changed by you.
Yes.
We want that change in our lips and in our heart and in our mind. So we ask again, Lord, that you just bless each one. Bless them with that word that we've heard today.
Yes.
May it come to pass that we speak those words, the words of faith.
Yes, Lord.
And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go out with this positive song. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow.